for leading us so beautifully in our prayers this morning. Let's just take a moment to pray. Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you for your love for us, the way that you go out of your way to demonstrate it to us, the way that you have provided for us, the way that you continue to reach out to us, Lord, in our brokenness, in our sinfulness, in our frailty, and restore us. We pray, Lord, that as we contemplate your word for us today, Lord, that we'll hear again your words, your voice, Lord, amongst the words that we hear. Lord, help us to all hear what you're saying to us, Lord. And help us to have the courage and the obedience to respond to what you say to us. Lord, that we may be transformed and changed into the likeness of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak into our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So first of all, I'd just like to say thank you to everyone who's been in touch this week and sent messages and flowers and food and encouragement to Karen. She didn't feel quite up to it this morning, but she's making great progress. And after what has been a considerable delay, although not as considerable as some people experience at the hands of the NHS, it was a really peaceful time. She had a great consultant, a great anaesthetist that really just made her feel, you know, quite calm, and everything went well. She's recovering well. She just needs to, you know, take it easy. So I'm quick because I've got a list of things to do to get back to you now. But thank you. It means a lot. It's meant a lot to her as well. This morning we are going to begin a series of talks based on the book of Acts. We've been saying when we launched Eden Church that it's our intention to be a church that is a church on mission. And we hold to that. And a few weeks ago, Nick preached and spoke about spoke on Acts chapter 8 to 20, which I thought was very impressive. But he encouraged us to reconnect with this calling that we have as a church and as disciples of Jesus, to be disciples who make disciples. And at the end of last year, Johnny, Steve and myself sat down to talk about the teaching program for the beginning of this year. And Steve shared the word that he had felt that he had received from the Lord for us for the beginning of the year. And that's what Steve preached on. If you weren't here at the beginning of January, I encourage you to go back and listen to the sermon that Steve shared with us. But from that, he shared a verse from Isaiah chapter 37, verse 30, which says this: "This year you will eat you will eat what grows by itself, and the second year what springs from that. But in the third year, sow and reap, plant vineyards and eat their fruit." And Steve spoke about the need for us in this time to be intentional about sowing and reaping. If we don't sow, we don't reap. But if we do so, we will reap. And a couple of weeks ago, I came back and shared something that I felt the Lord had put in my heart from Romans chapter 10, verses 13 to 15, and the need for us as a church to actively engage in sharing in our faith, because there is a promise to be realized. There is a promise to be realized. There's a kingdom that will come. And there is a commission, a calling, a purpose for each one of us. For our lives to be fulfilled. And I suppose when you start to piece these messages together, there's a strong sense of direction. There's a strong sense of voice that comes through that. And one that is not entirely surprising, but one that all the same is still massively encouraging. And if the Lord is encouraging us together to be more engaged in His mission, then there's a good reason for that. Because the thing that we sometimes forget, and it's very easy to do this, that we think it's our mission. But it's not. It's His mission that He invites us to be part of. And sometimes it can be a little bit overwhelming. We appreciate that. And it's as a result of that, sometimes we step back from the challenge and the invitation. Whether we feel that we haven't got enough time, or whether we feel that we're not good enough, or we're not spiritual enough, or we don't know enough. We put blockages in the way of our engagement. And we were talking about this this week at our elders' meeting. And what is it that blocks us, that stops us from engaging in our mission? And I think sometimes it's that we get a little bit stumped. We're not quite sure what to do out of in the context that we are in. And sometimes we need more than just help in somebody, more than just somebody sort of saying, you know, do it. And sometimes we need a demonstration. Sometimes we need that encouragement. This is what you do. This is how I've done it. This is what I've found helpful. And so we want to look at how can we encourage each other through our own experiences, the things that have been helpful to us in fulfilling our mission. Things, stories of encounter, stories where we've seen those breakthroughs, stories where we've failed, okay? It's okay to fail. I think we've got to get over that. It's okay to fail because we always learn something. Amen. Thank you, Claire. Because we always learn something. And I don't mind that we're a church of failures, because that tells me that we're doing something. Yeah, we're actually trying to do something and we're learning. What I don't want us to be is a church of quitters that just give up. I'm not going to bother. Fail big, okay? That's your encouragement this morning. Fail big, because we'll learn big and we'll learn something from that, and the Lord is with us. So we want to look at that. And if you've got something that you feel is worth contributing, and you want to, and whether I try this, I fell on my face, don't try it. You know, we want to hear from each other. We want to encourage each other. We want to, and we want to do this, you know, through our home groups as well, in our small groups. And that's the way in which we're going to try to encourage this to happen, as well as in our gatherings here. And we want to hear from you. If you've got something you feel you would like to share, we want to give you permission to speak that into us. Come and speak to me, come and speak to any of the elders. But also we want to encourage each other when we come together in our gatherings. And so this is why we're looking into the scriptures, and we're going to encourage ourselves by looking at the book of Acts. Because in the book of Acts there's some incredible stories of how the church got activated and mobilized. And we want to continue to draw on some of that inspiration of God's activity to help and guide us in our part of the story. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at characters and stories in the book of Acts. Some stories about Stephen, Philip, and Paul. We'll maybe take a quick look at the church in Antioch. But the idea really is that we want to keep encouraging and keep putting the idea of mission before us. And like I said, we want to do this because in our small groups, because the fact, you know, that's where a lot of our missionary adventures become known. It's very difficult to orchestrate it, you know, so that everybody hears about it in our Sunday meetings. And we really believe that our small groups are going to be the way in which we continue to grow the church, inviting people to connect in at that level. And we want to seriously again this morning just reiterate the significance of being connected to one of those groups. And I want to encourage you again If you're serious about being part of this church, if you're serious about the mission that we have together, then connect into a group. Because you will get the opportunity to be encouraged, to be challenged in the right way, to be given invitation, but also to be partnered with in your mission. Because you're all sent out. You're all scattered in different places, in your workplaces, in your family. And there are opportunities when you're scattered to do the things that Jesus is asking you to do as you follow him. But you also need that support. You need people around you who will encourage you. You'll need to come back to that place where people will help you, will pick you up and strengthen you. Will say, it's okay. Even though you think you've failed, we see this and we encourage you in that. So I want to encourage you to get connected. To be part of that, because that's what we're going to be about as a church moving forward. Be in a group. Be intentional. Be encouraged. And I wanted to position this series because I think we are in encouraging times. I think there is much to be gained. I really believe it. There is much to be gained. But there is also much to be lost. You know, God stands. I had this picture once where God stood at I just felt Jesus behind me in the meeting, and there was this massive pile of presents that he had, and he was standing there, just offering, and nobody was taking. God has got so much for us. There's so much good that he wants to do in and through our lives. There's an incredible destiny that each of us has, you know, in him, in Christ. It's amazing. And we just need to somehow grasp hold of that, hold on to that picture, and realize that everything that we do, wherever we're sent, whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, God is at work in us, and he's changing us and transforming us, but he's also enabling us and equipping us and empowering us to do and be, you know, Jesus in those situations, to bring the light of his presence. This is what we're about. The word that Steve brought, if we don't sow, there's the consequence that we don't reap, that we won't reap. But I want to focus on the encouragement that if we do sow, we will reap. Let our mindset be there, not over there. Let's not operate out of a place of fear, but let us operate out of a place of promise. Because that's what God has said to us. We are his people. So, this morning I just want us to take a look at one verse in the book of Acts. But it is a key verse to the whole book. And really just demonstrates how we can begin or maybe continue our own missionary adventures. If you've got your Bibles and you want to turn to it, it'll be up on the screen. But it's Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. These are the words of Jesus to his disciples, outlining the entire strategy of the coming of the kingdom of God in one sentence, for how his mission would continue, and how the seeds that had been sown into that group of believers would grow and spread all over the world. And I just want to major on two words and one person in this verse this morning. I've already gone off script, but I was going to say I don't actually want to say that much. Because I do want us to have time to engage with this word this morning. I want us to engage with Holy Spirit. And there are two phrases that come to me from this verse and what they might mean for us today and for the future. And there is this, the promise of the person and the power of his presence. The promise of the person and the power of his presence. In John chapter 16, Jesus spends time talking to his disciples in advance of his death and his resurrection and his ascension. And he explains to them that he has to go back to the Father. And he says this, he said, "But now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Rather, you are filled with grief because I've said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Quite understandably, the disciples are upset. Their teacher, their rabbi, their friend, their Lord was going to leave them. And they wouldn't see him anymore. They wouldn't share their lives with him anymore. Their friend was going away. And there is a sense in which that their tragedy, their loss, is there in their response. And that passes into even a greater reality when Jesus is brutally murdered. This intensifies and this deepens. But here, in advance of all of this, Jesus is promising something. He's promising a person who will come and be with them. He is promising the person of Holy Spirit to come to the disciples and somehow, out of their sadness, out of their confusion, out of their brokenness, he will come to them. He will comfort them. He will empower them and restore them to continue and sustain and lead, just as Jesus had done. The promise is there, and the promise is a person who will relate to them, who will know them, who will care for them, who will understand them, who will listen to them, who will speak wisdom to them, who can communicate with them, who can guide them. The promise wasn't a function or a skill or an ability, although sometimes that's exactly what Holy Spirit brings and enables. But Holy Spirit is a person. The promise to you and me is that the manifest person and nature of God, seen in Jesus, embodied in Jesus, is now present with us in Holy Spirit. Jesus was in one place at one time in history. Holy Spirit is with us everywhere, everyone, all the time. That's why Jesus had to go, so that he could come. So the reality, I was thinking about this morning, the reality is that we can know the presence of Jesus, just like the disciples knew the presence of Jesus, walking with them, talking with them, helping them, guiding them, picking them up when they'd make mistakes. That same presence, that same wisdom is available to us in the person of Holy Spirit. Jesus said to his disciples, "When he comes to you, he will guide you into what? Truth. He will lead you. He will remind you of the things that I have taught you." And I just felt I needed to impress upon this very simple truth this morning. Holy Spirit is real. Holy Spirit is person. Holy Spirit is present right now and knows everything about you. Holy Spirit cares for you. He wants to see your life flourish. Holy Spirit knows your sin. He knows your doubts, your failures. And Holy Spirit loves you. And He's able to communicate with you and to help you understand what the Father wants for you. Holy Spirit listens to you. Holy Spirit is able to bring refreshing and healing to your body, to your mind, to your will, to your emotions. Holy Spirit is able to re-energize and restore your soul. Holy Spirit can bring you peace and a joy that transforms and brings life into every situation we find ourselves in. Amen. The Baptist missionary, William Carey, said this: "All my friends are but one, but He is all sufficient." What an incredible line. I read that and it just hit me. The significance, the sufficiency of God. All my friends are but one, and He is all sufficiency. Where is your sufficiency this morning? What are you relying on? How much do you rely on Holy Spirit? How well do you know Him? Do you see Holy Spirit as someone who comes and relates to you? Do you rely upon Him for direction? Do you rely upon Him for comfort? Do you rely upon Him for wisdom? Do you rely upon Him for the care of your soul? He is all sufficient. John 14:26. This is the amplified version, but the helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send me in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things and to help you to remember everything I've told you. Holy Spirit wants to help you. Wants to help you in every way, in every area of your life, every part of your life. He is able to support you. Philippians 4:4-7 says, "Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures your heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus is yours." And I want to give testimony to the truly remarkable way that Holy Spirit somehow enables me in the most pressing and trying situations to find peace. I've lost count of the number of times that I've woken up in the morning. And I know this is something that you all share. But I wanted to share it again this morning. Sometimes we wake up and the weight of the world and its problems and the situations of life are just waiting there for you. How many of you just don't want to wake up? There are days I don't want to wake up. I just want to keep sleeping. Comfortably numb. Good title for a song. And sometimes I feel that the enemy is closing in. He is at the door. Fear, anxiety, doubt, anger, hopelessness, helplessness, worthlessness, they're all there. They're all baying at me. And the enemy presses in. The enemy presses in. And sometimes it just feels like your heart and your mind is going to explode because the pressure's too great. And my prayer in those times is very simple. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. And every time,
Every time he comes, every time he comes with his presence, and somehow, and I don't fully understand it, it is a mystery to me, but something lifts and I feel that I can breathe. It is almost as like my compressed and my crushed heart develops its own force field. You know? You ever seen that in those sci-fi movies when all of a sudden, you know, they call them deflector shields, don't they? You know? All of a sudden, something like, bing, over my little heart just pops up and I can breathe. I can take the next breath. And then I feel his presence and something changes. I don't know about you. I don't know your experience. But sometimes I just have it's a physical release. The peace of God invades not only my mind and my heart, but my body. And the sense of tension and stress starts to dissipate. And I'm able to get out of bed. And I'm able to take the next step. And he gives me strength for that. And the more that I seem to engage in his presence, and the more that I start in those moments, particularly I start to worship and I start to thank him, the stronger I seem to feel. And the more I'm able to get on. The problems don't go away. But I have the strength to keep on going so that I might overcome. He enables me not to quit. And not to give in, but to keep on moving. I want to suggest that if we want to be successful in our purpose, in our lives, as followers of Jesus, in our mission, individually and corporately, we need to become better acquainted with Holy Spirit. I want to challenge you with that this morning. How well do you know him? Intentionally. I don't know about you, but even after all these years, I still feel as I'm just scratching the surface. But what I do know is the more that I have intentionally sought to know Holy Spirit, the more I have grown spiritually, the more that I have been more effective in my ministry in helping and supporting others to grow. And I'm constantly amazed at the way that Holy Spirit seems to provide something to me, to minister to me, and then almost immediately puts me into a situation where I'm able to get away. I would almost define my ministry in that way. That he takes me through one place and puts something into my hands, and then almost, generally it's during the next week, I find myself in a situation with somebody and he's going, freely give as you've freely received. And it's done something to enable somebody else. J.I. Packer, the Christian author, said this, the Christian's life in all its aspects, intellectual and ethical, devotional and relational, upsurging in worship and outgoing in witness, is supernatural. Only the Spirit can initiate and sustain it. So apart from him, not only will there be no lively believers and no lively congregations, there will be no believers and no congregations at all. The promise that Father God and Jesus made was to provide and sustain us and enable us in this life, in our mission, in our purpose, is embodied in the faithful promise and the person of Holy Spirit. If we neglect our relationship with him, we will suffer the consequences. And what I mean by that is that we will not grow as we're intended to grow. But also, as well as nurturing and protecting and sustaining us for mission, Holy Spirit is also, there is also a power in his presence. He's not just the sustainer of our hearts and minds, but he is the one through whom which the fullness of the power of God becomes at work in us and through us. The disciples were told to go and wait for the presence of Holy Spirit to come. They obeyed. They gave themselves to prayer and to worship, and they positioned themselves in the presence of God. And then they were filled with the power of God, and the church was birthed in the most explosive of ways. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47 says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There are many things that we could draw out of these verses, but I want to see the commitment that the early church had to worshipping together, to be found in God's presence together, a commitment to learning about God, about praying together, and about sharing life. And the more that they sought the presence of God, the more God empowered them for the life He had called them into. And I love that video of Peggy McKellar that Mark shared with us. We watched earlier, and that sense of connection with God that she got just through running. You know, it did take me back to the Chariots of Fire. You know, I feel His pleasure. You know, when I run, I feel His pleasure. You know, there's a connection with God, to receive power, to live life, and to live for and with Him. It was an act of worship. It is an act of worship. You don't have to play the guitar to worship. You don't have to sing songs. But you can use the everything of life. Everything of life. Cleaning the toilets can be an act of worship. Amen? I haven't quite mastered that one, but along with doing the laundry, writing a program, teaching kids, leading the meeting. In and of themselves, they can just be seen as things that we do. But in truth, these can be turned into vibrant acts of worship. Because it is God who enables us. It is God that has given us the breath that we sung about. It's His breath in us. He enables us to do it. And so we give it back to Him. He has enabled you to do the things you do. He has put you in that place, in that schoolroom, in university, in that workplace, to do the things and be the person. He's given you the skills and the ability to do all of that. Give it back to Him. Make it become a vibrant act of worship. Because when you do that, you attract the presence of God. You position yourself in His presence as you worship Him. What is done in the natural as worship can become a supernatural encounter with God. Dave and I often joke about how awesome the music in heaven will be, and how amazing it would be just to be caught up in all of that. Times in worship where we just don't want to go. We don't want to stop. There are times when you just hit into the presence of God, and seriously, you could lose a day, 2 days, because you become alive, fully alive in His presence. You don't want to step out of that. And I'm not talking about the buzz of making music. It's so much more than that. I'm talking of connecting with God when words and lyrics don't actually mean much at all. But somehow you're able to express the inner feeling of your heart. You can just release what is within in the most significant of ways. I can't worship half-heartedly. I remember once somebody, I think it was one of Karen's friends, came along to one of the services in Cosmaston. And I was leading worship, and she said to Karen, she said, "Well, your husband's very enthusiastic, isn't he?" You know what? When I'm leading worship, when I'm singing worship, whenever I get the opportunity to do that, I do that with my whole being. I'll raise my hands. I'll make myself, because he is worth it. He is worth it. He's more than worth it. He deserves everything that I've got. And so I'm determined to do that. But when we do that, and it's not just about that making music, it's what we do with our everything. And that's something that I am learning. I'm still learning. I'm still trying to see, you know, that when Karen asks me to do, you know, the dishes, or, you know, I have to go and fetch the laundry, I can do it unto the Lord, and it can be a joyful thing rather than being, if that's a word. Worship is a state of heart, an attitude of mind. Music does help us to achieve those. Brother Lawrence, in The Practice of the Presence of God, and if you haven't read that book, I encourage you to do it. He says this, "But when we are faithful to keep ourselves in his holy presence and set him always before us, this not only hinders our offending him and doing anything that may displease him, at least willfully, but it also begets in us a holy freedom. And if I may so speak, a familiarity with God, wherewith we ask, and that successfully the graces we stand in need of." I love the story of Moses. Was it Moses? No, it wasn't Moses. It was Abraham. When he stood before God and bargained over Sodom and Gomorrah. "Lord, if I can find just 10 people." The compassion of his heart responded to the heart of God, and he was able to, in that moment, engage with God in the salvation of a town. Wow. That's what you're called into. That's the relationship that you have, what Abraham had. You have in more abundance because Jesus has made such an incredible way for you to know the presence and the power of the Father and to know his favor. You can stand in that place. You can have a familiarity with him. And I'm not talking about being, you know, disrespectful. It's not, you know, Jesus is my best mate. There's an awe about the presence of God that you cannot escape from if you're truly in his presence. But equally, there is a love that draws you closer, that wants to engage with you and wants you to engage with him in doing what he has put before you. Practicing the presence of God by worshipping through our daily activity enables us to walk in the will of God and as such remain under the provision of God. And it is here that we hear his voice and the unction of Holy Spirit directing us in the way that we should go. When we obey, then there is the power to achieve the instruction as it is released. Mission starts here. Mission starts in the presence of God. And it's here that we find the power for mission, as much as we find the person who sustains us, who enables us, who binds our wounds when we get broken. He's the one who gives us what we need to keep our strength going, but he also enables us and gives us power to achieve that which he calls us to. Corrie ten Boom said this, "Trying to do the Lord's work in your own strength is the most confusing, exhausting, and tedious of all work. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then the ministry of Jesus just flows from you." It's amazing, isn't it? D.R. Moody, the great evangelist, said this, "There is no use in running before you are sent. There is no use in attempting to do God's work without God's power. A man working without this unction, a man working without this anointing, a man working without the Holy Ghost upon him is losing time after all." In order for us to fulfill the mission of God that we have been set, we need to learn how to practice the presence of God, walking in the presence of Holy Spirit. This is key. Absolutely key. This is the foundation. If we don't master this, then we're not going anywhere. Unless His presence and the power of His presence rests upon us, we won't be successful. But when we align ourselves and position ourselves to receive it, then the Lord responds. In Acts 2:29-31, it said this. Now, Lord, this is the prayer of the church. Again, right after Pentecost, they had this incredible outpouring. Peter preached the Sermon of Sermons. After Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, obviously. But he preached an incredible sermon. 3,000 people are added to their number. And then they come back into that place again. And they say, Lord, we need more. Now, if they're asking for more after they've received that outpouring of Pentecost, how much more do we need? How much more do we need? More, Lord, to be our prayer. More, Lord. We need more of your power. We need more of your presence in order to achieve this. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. There is a power and a provision that is available to us to fulfill what He's asking us to do. The key is staying as much as we can in His presence, listening for His voice of instruction and obeying. I think I said this last time, it's okay. We can hear the voice of God. It's one thing to hear the voice of God. It's another thing to obey the voice of God. And a third thing, to persevere with that instruction until it is complete. It is the Holy Spirit and only the Holy Spirit that will ignite mission in your life, in my life, and in this church. We fool ourselves if we think any different. No program will be sufficient. No argument will be persuasive enough. No presentation slick enough. It's not our plans, our words that bring others to that place of surrender. It is the sole work of Holy Spirit, Jesus, and Father God. Now, the Holy Spirit loves you and cares for you. And He wants you to be released into the mission of God, fulfilling your God-ordained and appointed destiny. And He is the one to whom that we turn to mend our wounds, to direct us out of our confusion, to bring momentum to our inertia. But we need to be open to receiving and engaging with Him to achieve this. We need to call upon His power to work in us and through us. And there is nothing that is weak or awkward or attaches a sense of failure to asking for that to come. Very often when we're in meetings, you know, and we're given a response, you know, an opportunity for people to respond, there's that sense of awkwardness, particularly in Britain. It doesn't happen in Africa, I know that. Found that out. They're queuing up, they're running, they've got their trainers on, you know, waiting for their, you know, they're on the edge of their seats, they want, because they're hungry for the presence of God, they know that it makes a difference. And we need to become a people who are hungry for the presence of God, who are not ashamed to go, Lord, whatever you've got for me, I need it, I want it for this day. Because we leak. The power goes out. Jesus said the power went out of Him. When the lady touched the hem of His garment, He turned around, even in that situation. And He knew power had gone out from Him. Power goes out of you. And so you need the power to be plugged back in. You need that opportunity to be filled again and again and again and again and keep on being filled. And so we want to do that this morning. I'm going to ask the band to come back up. And we're just going to continue to worship God. We're going to just be in His presence. And I just want to give an opportunity, as we're worshiping, as we're worshiping together, I just want to give you an opportunity to come and receive prayer. We lay hands on people, okay, because that's what Jesus did, all right? You know, you can sit there and you can receive, and that's great, and that's fine. But we want to give the opportunity. I'm going to invite the guys from the prayer ministry team to come up as well. But we want to give an opportunity for people to receive the promise of the presence of God. Jesus laid hands on people. The early church laid hands on people. Okay, and we're just following in their footsteps. Now, we don't want to make you feel awkward. This is not I have to respond. I'm just saying, if you want it, if you feel that that's for you this morning, you need the presence of God, you want more of His presence in your life. I just want to give you the opportunity to receive that ministry. It's as simple as that. But if you feel that it's something that you just, okay, I want it, but I'm happy to stay here, we're going to pray that blessing, that you'll receive it. It's okay, we're going to do both. All right? Is that okay? Okay. So, guys, let's just stand for a second. Invite the Holy Spirit to come. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you care for us. We thank you that you are the one that Jesus sent to us to come and lead us and heal our wounds, heal our bodies, heal our minds, and set us free. You're the one that directs us and enables us to walk in wisdom. And so we avail ourselves to you this morning, Holy Spirit. Will you come? You're already here by your presence, and we thank you. We thank you. We love you. And we just invite you to come, minister to us. Come, be amongst us in our hearts right now. Strengthen us where we need to be strengthened, Lord. Heal us, Lord. Heal our bodies where they need to be healed. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Father. If you want to come, then just come. Don't wait. Put your trainers on. And we'll pray.